in any culture, there are things that are kind of inherent to the culture. There's sort of a divine anatomy that's in the people. When we look at a place like Paris and you're a missionary there, you're wanting to say, hey, I belong to a new kingdom. I have a kingdom identity. And that institution, the church, does make a culture, but it's a kingdom culture. Instead of the missionaries looking at Paris and saying, man, everything about that is bad. Everything about that's bad. That's greed. They're trying to look at the undercurrent of those expressions. Like what is kind of the good in that? And how can we then connect with it and then confront it with the gospel and then sort of fulfill it with the gospel, bring the more satisfying reality in the gospel.
Greetings and welcome to the Missions Show. That's right. Not the Missions Podcast, the Missions Show. For those of you who have been our podcast viewers and listeners for years, we have exciting news. This marks the premiere of the Missions Podcast, not just as a podcast, but also as a show. Now, we've been on NRB TV for a little while. We've also been on Wrath and Grace Television. Maybe you've found us on those platforms. But now we are excited to announce that we are a part of Lighthouse TV, reaching the Central Pennsylvania area over the airwaves. And so to all of our Central Pennsylvania viewers, it's so good to be here from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And thank you for joining us on the Missions Show, where we discuss your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm Alex Kochman, Director of Communications and Engagement with ABWE, with my beloved friend and co-host, Scott W. Dunford, Pastor Scott W. Dunford of Western Hills Church in San Mateo, California. Scott, we've been doing this show. This year marks 9 years, and we did it.
No way.
We bit the bullet. We have rebranded. And let me tell you, it feels really weird to say the Missions Show and not the Missions Podcast. But how are you, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a lot of I have to work my tongue, practice all of my little rhymes. So, you know, Sally picks seashells down by the seashore, Missions Show. But we'll get there, and it's exciting new change. I'm excited for being able to reach a new audience, and everything's moving to video. So this makes so much sense.
That's right. Absolutely. And speaking of video, Scott, I was recently very privileged to receive a link with early access to a documentary that I would highly recommend. It's called A City of Light. We'll put links here in the show notes or in the bottom here or on the side for those of you that are watching, listening to this. But we highly recommend this important little film that was put together with the help of our guest that we're talking to today, our returning friend of the show, Pastor Billy Bean, joining us from the Atlanta area. Billy, thanks for being here with us, and tell us, what is this documentary film? And along with that, why are people sending missionaries to a place like France? France is, you know, one of the Christianized countries of Europe. Surely we need all of the missionaries to just focus on Africa and Asia, right? We don't need missionaries in a place like France.
Yeah. Well, hey guys, thanks for having me on the Mission Show. What an honor. I didn't know that I would be the first episode on a rebrand. So I'm really excited, honored to be here. So I pastor at a church in Atlanta, Georgia, and really this film produced by our church, Christ Covenant, is really just a product of kind of this broader stewardship that we sense the Lord is directing our church to be a part of, which really is investing in a lot of just the rapidly shifting world around us. So as we're trying to kind of read God's providence as best as we're able to, looking out into the world, we're seeing massive trends of kind of globalization, urbanization, all of that kind of happening at the same time, massive migration shifts, people moving around the world. The folks that we're trying to mobilize and send to the nations are in a global city, and they have access to these global hubs all over the world. And so we thought, hey, why don't we kind of spotlight one of those sort of global hubs, which is Paris, France, and just talk about some of these kind of new Roman roads, if you will, these new Roman roads of the world that are flowing through these global cities. And when you think of, you know, Western Europe as a whole, or maybe Paris, your missions imaginary of yesteryear is probably not thinking Paris as a missions field or London or Rome. But the Lord is doing amazing things in and through these cities, through faithful local churches. And we wanted to just tell that story, and we wanted to show how ordinary, faithful local churches reaching a city like Paris. There's a downstream, a trickle effect that actually can build a big footprint on the globe. And so, you know, you reach Paris, you reach many other places. And so the film is really just telling that story, kind of a macro picture. We drill down, we talk about history, cultural engagement with the gospel, and then we ground it in the local church. Like, what does this actually look like at the ground level? And we wanted to kind of showcase what we think to be some of the most faithful expressions of mission on the ground in Paris, and just highlight that. So,
absolutely. And these are missionaries that your church supports.
Right.
You've been a part of holding the rope, we would say, for those workers there. You brought up a couple of important things, though. Yeah, there's migration trends. Paris is a world city, right? You've got all sorts of, obviously, ethnic diversity, language diversity. And so if you're trying to reach a broad swath of different types of peoples, that's certainly a strategic place to try and do that from. But also the home culture there of France is highly post-Christian. So talk to us a little bit about what does it look like to be a part of advancing the gospel in a place that was once Christian, was once predominantly Roman Catholic, is, of course, still predominantly Roman Catholic in identity. But you look under the surface and there's a deep historical legacy of secularism, of postmodern thinking that really tends to rule out and almost inoculate people against any kind of a biblical worldview, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're hearing a lot of, on this side of the pond, we're, in broader evangelical missions conversation, we're talking a lot about secularism and, expressive individualism, as, you know, Carl Truman has helped us think much about. And also, he's also in the film there talking a little bit about that. But when we think of kind of secularism and this cloud of secularism that's kind of falling over the world, I would say, being kind of expedited and exported through technology, ground zero for that really is kind of Paris, France. And so actually in the film, we talk about kind of where sort of this this idea of the expressive individual, where that kind of begins. And we highlight the Fifth District of Paris and this university there, the Sorbonne, that has educated the likes of, you know, Foucault and Rousseau and some of these thinkers that have kind of developed the philosophical underpinnings of expressive individualism that, of course, is now kind of the air we breathe over here in America. And so it's kind of ground zero there. Now there's a history there that's deep rooted. There's a sophisticated way of living out that, what I would call a religion, in ways that we don't really live it out here. And so that presents some challenges. But what we wanted to highlight is we wanted to highlight kind of this, what I like to say, the kind of supracultural transcendent realities of the ordinary means of grace. Like, what are the things that are going to come under, push through and kind of transcend those challenges, those obstacles? It's really faithful local churches that are in the context.
Let's dive into that a little more, because obviously I'm very interested in that, being in San Francisco, which is not quite as progressive, I think, as Paris, France is, but certainly is heading down that pathway. You know, everyone knows Paris, you know, the French Revolution and all this kind of stuff has changed so much of who France is. But when I look at it and go like, hey, what is God doing there? Because I think this is where my community is even headed. What are some of those just like ordinary means of grace that you're seeing having effect? Are they doing, because I think the tension here is so many churches, you know, out of the 80s and 90s, were like, hey, we got to be creative. We have to have church for the unchurched. We've got to do these wild and crazy things in order to get people to come to church. What are you seeing those churches doing that's being effective there?
So much of this conversation has to do with kind of the preconditions of a context. So, I mean, you think of San Francisco, you think of Atlanta, wherever you are, there are some preconditions in the context, preconditions of the culture, that, more or less present kind of barriers to gospel advance. And so you have to, and I'd encourage you guys to go into the documentary, but there's a little bit of a kind of a high level history of the French Revolution and the expulsion of Christianity and even some attempts at reformers, you know, trying to come back into the nation there. But you know, the same has been for French, for the French people. The French people have a very long view of history and time and space. They have a very long perspective. They're a very patient people. They emphasize, you know, this French way of life. I think there's a French word for that, kind of the French way of life. And they're really attracted by what we as Christians would call the common grace beauties of the world. And so even just in Paris, in particular, the way architecture kind of shapes the way they think, and they're very intellectual people. At the end of the day, the undercurrent of that worldview is like the self and the autonomous self and self-sufficiency and I command my own life. And, I think that right now in this moment in the world with technology and connectivity and the advance of the gospel, the churches there in Paris are feeling like they're in a moment right now where the French people are, you know, they're accessing the world in a different way. You know, they're accessing ideas in a different way, and they're really tired. They're really lonely. You know, secularism has left them dry. And so the churches there are sensing an opportunity to reach them. And so they're really not doing anything different. The faithful churches are not doing anything different than they've done. Ordinary means of grace, the gospel preached, small gatherings. But they're evangelizing, and by God's grace, people are responding to the gospel. And in these churches, mm-hmm. a few of them in our documentary that we show, they're growing. They're like filling up their, you know, locations, and they haven't seen, at least the pastors that we're interfacing with, they haven't seen this in their lifetime. So it does seem like the Lord's doing something unique there. And I'm still trying to make sense of it.
You've shared some about the cultural obstacles, which makes sense. Of course, there's a very high regard for art, for the intellect. You're right. A lot of that comes from this place of radical commitment to the individual autonomous self. But I'm curious about some of the other spiritual barriers, maybe even sociological barriers to planting the types of churches we're talking about. Obviously, we're talking about Protestant churches, evangelical churches. You know, when you watch the film, you'll see churches that are meeting in coffee shops, churches that are very obviously dressed down. Is that a deterrent to the gospel? Is there this sense, and you see this in some Roman Catholic contexts, where unless there's a large ornate church building, unless there's a priest or a minister wearing sort of the clerical vestments in front of the entire congregation, anything less than that, that's meeting in a very simple or almost deconstructed sort of setting, it kind of strikes people as a cult? Is that fair to say? Do people see these churches as legitimate? Have they struggled to get some of that traction in Paris? What does that look like for the church planters you're supporting?
Yeah, I think some of that is still there. You know, a fascinating conversation for another time is just how architecture and city infrastructure kind of makes culture and shapes culture and frames worldview. And, you know, in Paris, if you've been to Paris before, you're struck by just the beauty of the city and how it's structured and kind of the Baroque line streets, and everything actually kind of is orderly, and people see themselves according to the identity of their neighborhood. And so there's some interesting missiological implications there. And of course you got those cathedrals, you've got all the cathedrals there. But what's really interesting is a couple of the churches that we, you know, highlight in the documentary, they're meeting in these cinemas. And that in and of itself was a huge risk for them to, and one in a cafe, to even talking to the pastors, even to try that. There was a very pessimistic outlook on if that would work in France. But for some reason, it is actually working right now. And I think they're trying to figure some of that out. I would also say, you know, Paris is a global city now. And so what does it mean to be Parisian? You know, I think before, if you were to talk to an average Parisian, like to be Parisian is like significant. There's a whole identity wrapped up in there. And I think just geopolitically and with migration and the nations coming into the city, it's kind of shaking up that identity of what it means to be Parisian. And so in the churches that we're highlighting, there's a lot of people from kind of the French, the former French colonial world that are there coming to these churches. So a lot of people from Africa and different places, North Africa, different countries around the world. And so I think there's still some of that there, that like suspicion. What is this? A cult? This is weird. How can, you know, there's an etiquette, a sophistication about how we do this thing. Why would you meet in a cinema? But some of that's changing.
It's so fascinating. And I mean, of course, here in the States, we're watching the changes in France and we only see like one perspective of it, but obviously that whole country has changed. I just saw something, I was trying to find the statistic, but like out of the professional soccer players that are playing for national countries in Africa, I think like something like 70% of them were born in France. Wow. So they're Africans who came to France and now, but still, you know, still identify with the French or the French colonies there in Africa and are playing for those teams. And it's very, very complicated, very interesting racial mix. When we think of Paris, even though Paris is, you know, you think of it as French, what does that even mean anymore? So what do you see as some of the, in that place where you have like the historical Catholicism, you also have the humanism of the French Revolution, but now you've got all of this influx of immigration into France, particularly into Paris. What are some of the main spiritual obstacles that you see there that you guys are still wrestling with, that the churches are facing? And is there anything that can be learned from that from other global cities?
Again, I'm not an expert on Paris. We made the film. I would encourage you guys to watch the film and actually interact with some of these partners and read up on the history. I think it's very, very significant. But just kind of at a macro level, again, I do think there is some in global cities in particular, there's kind of a monoculturalization happening in the world where these big global cities are, again, there's breakdowns in neighborhoods and nuance to what I'm saying here, but there's kind of this secular humanist expressive individual kind of overlay onto global cities around the world. Right. I was in Istanbul recently. You can sense it there. The pastors there are saying that they feel that even in an Islamic city, there's kind of a secular humanist overlay that's kind of pushing traditional Islam out. You see it in the Far East, places like Kuala Lumpur, Singapore, these different places. So there seems to be like this commonality that we can relate to. Like I can kind of see some Atlanta and Paris, and I wonder if some of the pastors could see some Paris into Atlanta when they come visit us, you know? And I don't want to discount that. I think there's an opportunity there to have inroads for the gospel and to engage culture in very similar ways, to reach the world in ways that are, it's almost like obstacles are going away in some ways. Now it's presenting other obstacles as well. But I think that's just happening in Paris. Another reality that we didn't touch on the film is obviously the kind of the cloud of Islam that's falling over Europe as a whole, and certainly impacting Paris and cities like Marseille. And it does seem like the brand of Islam that's flowing into Paris, France as a whole, seems to be a more radicalizing Islam, whereas some of the cities, the global cities in the Islamic world, are secularizing. The Muslims that are leaving those cities and coming to Europe are almost like holding, they're gripping tighter to their religious traditionalism to kind of have a sense of identity in a new place. So that's interesting as well.
Yeah. What you said about this secular, humanistic, homogenous global culture kind of falling like a curtain over a lot of these important world cities, what you're saying resonates. Sure, it might be easier for an American to relate in some of these contexts, but there's something of the richness of that culture, which, you know, Parisian culture, it's a very thick culture. No offense, but compared to a culture like Atlanta, right, which is, right, you know, it's certainly much newer, right? You're dealing with so much that's lost in there. And I can't help but think of Scripture's admonition to the exiles in Babylon to seek the welfare of the city to which they've been called, in which they've been planted, and thinking about the power of Christianity, wherever it goes in the world, it brings about the preservation of the beauty and the richness of the local culture and heritage that's there, wherever it finds itself, not so much decimating what's there. Right. You know, it strikes me that the missionaries that you're working with, they're probably teaching in some sense, you know, here's what it really means to be for Paris or for France in Christ, but to do so authentically and to be that preserving salt in their culture where they are, even as they're interacting with people from all around the world. That's a really interesting thought to me. And I'm curious your thoughts about that. I'm also curious how it works with the Christian worldview here colliding with some parts of maybe traditional French culture that we would think of as maybe counter to a biblical worldview. You know, you go into some of the history of movements coming out of France over the past several hundred years. You go into some of that history in the documentary. You go into the worldview that drove the French Revolution. You get into a little bit of the kind of laissez-faire, you know, sexual mores or maybe lack thereof in you know, kind of stereotypical French culture. What does it look like for scripture to come to bear on those aspects of French identity? Are those things still a driving force today? And what does that look like?
Great questions. Yeah, I think you're really coming at really kind of the essence of, you know, contextualization, right? And I know you guys have talked so much about contextualization throughout many episodes, but there is something about kind of this Revelation 1 understanding of suppressed truth. You know, in any culture, any place, anywhere that you go in the world, you know, it's, as you said, there are things that are kind of inherent to the culture. There's sort of a divine anatomy that's in the people. I'm kind of taking some of that from a missiologist named Dan Strange, but he talks a lot about kind of this divine anatomy, these longings that no matter where you go in the world, J.H. Boving talks about this as well, these divine longings that people have. And, you know, when we look at a place like Paris or any place, and you're a missionary there, you know, I think it's, you're wanting to say, hey, I belong to a new kingdom. I have a kingdom identity, and that institution, the church, does make a culture, if you will, but it's a kingdom culture. And what that culture is doing is it's coming into a suppressed truth space. So, you know, instead of the missionaries looking at Paris and saying, man, everything about that is bad. Everything about that's bad. That's greed. That's, you know, that's vanity. They're trying to look at the undercurrent of those expressions. Like what is kind of the good in that? What has been suppressed? What has been suppressed in that truth there? And how can we then kind of connect with it? Or connect with it and then confront it with the gospel and then sort of fulfill it with the gospel, bring the more satisfying reality in the gospel. So, I think that kind of gets to the essence of what you're asking there, Alex, about, you know, not just coming in and getting rid of what is so rich and good, but instead it's fulfilling that with the gospel and pointing those things to the ultimate hope, which is in the Lord, which actually points to this greater reality of a better city, you know, when the Lord returns.
So are you sort of saying, you know, that a conversation, and it's a hypothetical, you know, kind of idealized conversation, you know, with kind of the French spirit might say something like, you know, historically you've valued your freedom. You've valued your personal expression. And you're not so much saying, well, scripture says, you know, don't express yourself or don't be free, only conform. Obviously you can say, well, you should conform to God's law and so on and so forth. But you're also saying at the same time, well, true freedom, or even something like true, you know, authentic creativity, is found only through communion with Christ. You know, he's our creator and we're sub creators in him, or he makes us free. And so we're truly free in a way, in the sense of also we're conformed to the law of God, but we're truly free in a way that really matters. Is that sort of what you're getting at? You're not sort of contradicting those cultural values, but you're showing how the faith of Christ gives full expression to them.
Absolutely. And I don't think there's an equal, I mean, again, preconditions of a culture context really does impact this conversation. like not all cultures have the same level of common grace evident in them. But I do think every culture does have things that the gospel can speak to, can kind of connect with, confront, and then fulfill. You know, for the French people, so much is about identity. Like the French identity, and this kind of harkens to one of the magnetic points that J.H. Bovink talks about in every human being. There's this longing for totality, this longing to be a part of this whole, this full identity, this full expressed identity that's connected to this, you know, to these sort of identifying markers. And for the French people, that's like what they eat. That's how they spend their day, their schedule, how they rest. And it's all wrapped up into this desire to find fullness and wholeness. And so, you know, but we know that that obviously is not, that's not the full picture for them. They're going to actually be left thirsty. They're going to want more. And so how does the gospel and the community of God give a picture of a greater wholeness, a greater sense of belonging that actually allows for those people to keep their expressive their individualism, the beautiful imago Dei realities, their talents, their gifts, their culture, but say, hey, you belong to this new thing that's helping you conform to the King. So yeah, I think you're touching on exactly this idea, subversive fulfillment, which guys like Dan Strange have talked about here. And I think our pastors that we're connected with, our missionaries that we're connected with there, Philip Moore, one of the pastors in the film, he talks about truth, goodness, beauty, these transcendental values that the French people, they value so deeply. And if you ever hear Philip Moore preach, he always preaches sort of to these values, kind of gently connects with them, then confronts them, and then he fulfills them with the gospel. And I think that the way that he preaches really resonates with the French heart. And so, yeah, and I think the film kind of shows that. Beautiful. A little bit.
Well, we see certainly Jesus is preaching doing that. We see Paul's preaching doing that. It does bring me to think about, you know, my own setting and other settings here in the States of how we bring those truths of the gospel to bear to specific values that do align with God's word. So I guess that would be the question to pose to you here is, you know, what are some of the truths that you hope that the American church can take from this video? Obviously, you know, probably most of the people who are going to watch this are people in churches like ours. And what lessons would you like pastors and churches in America to hear from this?
What I want pastors and just church members to hear when they really to grasp when they see this and really to understand is that the ground beneath us is shifting faster than we could ever imagine. I mean, it is shifting. We are in sort of this massive sociocultural shift. And, you know, that can present sort of this feeling of panic or angst or, you know, being overwhelmed. But I think it's one, recognizing that the ground is shifting beneath us. The ideas that are from a city like Paris are now in the air we breathe in America, expressive individualism, secularism. And our people here in Atlanta, Georgia, Philadelphia, Bogota, wherever you are, our people are being catechized by the ideas of a secular age. And so it's recognizing that maybe some of our paradigms of old, they've been helpful, useful. We need to keep some of that, but I think we're kind of in need of a sort of an update. And I would want to encourage pastors to think about their own contexts in, you know, particularly in the West, particularly in America. I would want them to think of their own context as a field and not to think of, you know, Paris or any place out. I wouldn't want them to think of the field as something out there. Right. It is out there, but they're living in a field as well. And that field is connecting with the world out there. And so, you know, is there a way that we can encourage pastors to kind of see with their eyes open about what's happening, what's catechizing and shaping their members? Yeah. And then I would want to encourage them to double down on the ordinary means of grace. The same old, you know, time-tested truths of the local church, the preached word, you know, observing the ordinances, discipleship, church discipline. Yeah. The ordinary means of grace, that's going to shape a people to bring the gospel to bear on a rapidly shifting context around them with confidence.
Yeah, and we're passionate about those same things. And so we would encourage everyone to go and watch the documentary. It's free on YouTube if you just search for A City of Light short documentary. It's on the Christ Covenant Church YouTube channel. Go ahead and check that out and maybe drop a comment. Let them know that the Missions Show sent you over there. And Billy, thank you for joining us today. Thank all of you for joining us today on the Missions Show, which is a ministry of ABWE. To learn more about ABWE and to take your next step in the Great Commission, whether it's at home or abroad, go to abwe.org and you can get more content from this show, including our bonus episode for subscribers over at missionsshow.com, or if you're one of our Lighthouse TV viewers over on the Lighthouse TV app. And for the rest of you, we look forward to seeing you there. For everyone else, take care, go and make disciples of all the nations.